So he did very well. So, Pat, this is an interview with Pat Finn. You're okay, Pat, with your name going on your interview, are you?
I am, yeah.
It's fine. With Pat Finn, can I ask you, first of all, how old you are, Pat?
68.
68 years old, okay. As you're aware, the purpose of this is really to talk to you about your time on the border. Can you tell me when were you... First of all, I suppose, Pat, where are you from originally?
I'm from Galway.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, and I came to Clonakilty in 1968. May 1968.
Okay.
And I had my full service in Clonakilty apart from my temporary transfers.
Okay. And so when would you have gone to the border then?
My first trip to the border was in 1970.
Okay.
I went there in March of 1970 to Ballyconnell.
Ballyconnell, okay.
No, Ballyconnell was on the border as well, which was in the Cavan division.
Okay.
Cavan Monaghan division. And we thought we'd be there for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But as it happened, the Conroy Commission was set up prior to that year. And the Conroy Commission was published around that time. And the individuals, most of the fellas that were on the border, there was very few females on the border that time.
Right.
But we were all brought back to our stations and for the 1st of April.
Okay.
Because new conditions came into the Garda Police Garda Force in 1970. Okay. So that was my first trip to the border.
Okay. And can I ask you, at that time, had you any sense of where you were going or what was about, Pat? Or?
Well, we knew, like, it was border patrols.
Yes.
But now I knew where Ballyconnell was on the map.
Okay.
But it was my first trip to the border, and the fact that there was... number of sergeants there. We were in all different accommodation.
Okay.
And I replaced some of the members from Clonakilty or Clonakilty district.
Okay.
So I would have gone into the same accommodation as they left. So then we would have been on long shifts, I think, that time prior to the Conroy Commission. So we got...
What was a long shift then?
Long shift could be maybe... 9 hours maybe, or maybe 10 hours maybe. You wouldn't have the same now. When the Conroy Commission came in, it was 8 hour shifts.
Okay.
As such, but prior to that, you could have been longer shifts, and there was next fact you got no pay for overtime, in other words.
Okay. So whatever length of time.
Yeah, you could be called out, and there'd be no payment for the longer hours.
Okay.
But as it happened, I got to know the number of people that were in the sergeants and the Gardaí and as well, and they got to know the border areas. Now, we were told it could be about the border. The one good thing about all my trips to the border is the fact that each individual that I met, they were very helpful.
Okay.
Because they knew, like, that we didn't know the border areas, and they also gave us advice in relation to the people that we could mix with.
Okay.
And the areas that we should not mix in.
Okay. And was that something you would have been aware of, like the idea that there were people that were, I suppose, persona non grata, that there were people you shouldn't be mixing with? Or
I would have known a bit more, but not to the extreme. The fact that, you see, sometimes I see people might come talk to you.
Right.
And they could be asking you questions.
Okay.
Which now, well, lucky enough, that time we got advice when we arrived there. And now, lucky enough again, I didn't meet anybody.
Yes.
That I got any awkward questions.
Right.
From.
Okay, but you'd have to be vigilant.
Well, that was the one good thing, that you had to be vigilant, is right. And it was a good experience as well. Because being only in Clonakilty, and I was in Dublin for a number of months way back in 1969.
Mm.
And the outside of Clonakilty, that was Ballycall was my other station, first station on the border. And again, it gave me an insight into what border was about.
Yes. And can you just say a bit more about that, Pat?
You see, the border was totally different to the Clonakilty and to Dublin, because you met different people that could be subversive, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
And in actual fact, crossing the border, in as well, you guys know, you went far as the border, but you didn't cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
And the border was new to me, because I'd never been in Northern Ireland prior to that.
Yeah.
And Northern Ireland was, to me, even though I had been in England and I had met a lot of people from different nationalities, but I did not know people from the north of Ireland, and also the fact of the criminal activities that were happening there.
Right.
I would have known nothing about that.
Okay.
And a fortnight was too short, so I didn't learn an awful lot at that particular time.
Yeah. And when did you go back up again then?
I'm back up to Kinloch in 1971.
Okay.
Kinloch is in North Leitrim.
Okay.
It's quite close to the Donegal border as well.
Okay.
And I, being single, we were just been there for 2 months.
Okay.
And the one thing about Kinloch that I remember clearly about Kinloch is the fact that there were a number of people living in Kinloch sub-district and they had escaped from Lancash.
Okay.
So we got to know them individually and collectively as well.
Okay.
And we did, we met them different times, we would have stopped them in checkpoints.
Right.
And we were aware of who they were.
Right.
And that time, there was very few individuals carrying firearms.
Right.
And they would sometimes you would be accompanied by army. And then you would be quite, you know, happy to stop individuals who you knew like were subversive okay. and could be dangerous, maybe we didn't know.
Yes, yeah.
But as it happened, they didn't create any difficulty for us,
right.
even though they did tell us that they didn't like being stopped.
Right, okay.
And the fact that if they were stopped too often, that they could get angry.
Right.
But no, we didn't allow anybody getting angry because we said we were told that we were doing our work
yes.
and our duty, and it was part of our work to stop them
right.
and search the cars and search themselves if they need be.
Right, okay. And did you ever find anything, Pat?
No. There was nothing found that particular time. Now, we did some searches,
yes.
but there was nothing found of
yeah.
in relation to anything that subversive would need or
yeah.
would have hidden.
Right.
So we don't know whether they had or not. And these fellas that we knew like that time came across the border.
Yeah.
And they just didn't want to be part of Northern Ireland because they knew they were wanted in Northern Ireland.
Right.
And we did have some knowledge when they were the PSNI police in the north knew they were living there.
Right. Okay.
But and we would keep notes in relation to the times we stopped those people.
Okay.
And who they were, you know, that just okay. give them some, and that would be passed on. I think it was passed on. We passed it on to our sergeants and inspectors and the superintendent.
Okay.
And that would be passed on probably, I assume it would be passed on, I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
But we didn't do it ourselves.
Yeah. Would you have had any contact with any of the RUC on the border?
Just would meet them on the border.
Right.
We'd have just had a conversation with them now.
Right, okay.
Because again, we wouldn't have been, you see, you don't talk to people too long when you don't know them.
Yes, yes.
And we just got to know them. We knew they were policemen.
Yes.
And they knew that we were from the south of Ireland.
Yes.
And they didn't, you know, we just bid them the time of day or yes. maybe just talked about a few things that were happening. Maybe it was about football, which
right.
they would be, you know, some of them would have known a good bit about football and things like that as well because
okay.
they would know that much about holding on the border.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
And whatever was happening in the areas as well, we would just have a short discussion with them.
Right. And what about conditions, Pat? You know, your conditions, like, you know, when you think of communications or was there anything?
In actual fact, that was my first time using the car radios.
Okay.
We didn't have car radios in West Cork at that particular time.
Okay.
So we got used to them again in the two-way because they had a radio in every station in the border at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to have communication when we were out and with the station at all times,
okay.
which was a big help as well.
Yeah, that was very sophisticated, really, wasn't it?
It was
at the time.
We thought it was at that time, but it was
yeah.
very small compared with communication nowadays.
I know, sure, yeah. And what about, what did you do socially and things? I mean, you know, there was a group of young, all these young men.
Well, what we did socially, now, we travelled up to Kinloch and just before we'd start duty, maybe an hour or 2 weeks before we'd start duty.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and again, it was 8-hour shifts. Mm. We started maybe on a 10 o'clock and maybe on a Monday night.
Right.
And then we would finish maybe on the next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go to dances in on the Beach Hotel was one of the places we used to go to in down in Mullaghmore.
Right, okay.
And in Mullaghmore, in actual fact, that was one of the things that we covered actually during the summer because of Lord Mountbatten.
All right. Can you say more about that? Were you down around there? So
I was there. There were different times when the Lord of Mercy and Lord Mountbatten was coming there on holidays.
Right.
And we would patrol that area.
Okay.
And we got to know him, you know, casually now.
Right.
We had a short conversation with him too from time to time during the summer that he was there.
Right.
He was there for a couple of months of the summer.
Okay.
Because he has residence there.
Yes.
And we see him going out in his boat as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that we would be with as well, you know, we just knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know very few, we knew some of the staff.
Right.
But we didn't know them by name.
Yes, yes.
And he was very nice to us and, you know, and very courteous to us as well.
Yes.
You know, he seemed a fine, straight individual and very friendly.
Right, okay. And so would you'd have been up and down. It must have been, I suppose, when you came back then, from the border, how was it kind of fitting in when you came back, I suppose?
I got back into normal routines again.
Yeah.
And then that was my, you know, the 1971 was my, I spent 2 months at that time.
Right.
And then 8 months after, I went back.
Right.
In 1973.
Right.
And I spent 8 months at that time.
Right,
72, 73.
Yeah.
And again, we would have done the same thing. But again, like I said, we'd go into Bundoran maybe for, you know, when we would have time off.
Right.
And we would go to the local dances there.
Right.
And as well as that, we would go to the beaches in Murrockmore or Bundoran.
Yeah.
And we got to know, we were only temporary.
Yes.
And we got to know the fellas from the different areas that would have been near the border, and we got friendly with him as well too.
Right.
So we create good friendship, and again, where we were living, it was quite a good accommodation as well, and we got well fed.
Okay.
And we got on well with the sergeants that were there as well, and they were there permanently, because he couldn't be nicer to us.
Really,
he gave us loads of advice and we wanted.
Yeah.
And if we wanted to change the shifts.
Yes.
You know, he would have been, you know, he'd been very helpful that way as well too.
Did you ever go across the border, Pat, then?
We did. When we crossed the border a few times, and we were going to different areas in the border. But now it was, we went in our own time. In actually, I went to dancing a few times across the border as well too.
Right.
But not too often now.
Yeah.
But we'd just have our identification with us. We didn't took our own cars.
Right.
And that was it. We didn't, you know, that we would be always trying to be careful.
Right.
As to where we went.
Right.
And the fact that we didn't want people to know that we were in the Garda Force.
Right, okay.
Because we were afraid just of the fact that if they knew we were Gardaí,
yes,
they mightn't like it, some of the people that we'd have met up there, so we just kept to ourselves
in
that
way. Profile. And what about when you were showing your ID going across the border?
There was no difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
No difficulty showing our ID.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we wouldn't even ask for ID.
Is that right?
But we just made sure that we were, you know, that in case we were stopped, we did have ID with us.
Yeah. And so was that your final time up there, was it then?
No, I went to Black Lion in 1975.
Right.
I spent 2 months there actually in Black Lion was right on the border.
Yes, I know it, yeah.
And there was an army post as well right on the border.
Yes.
And again, it was a smaller area. And the fact that, even though, what I found about Black Lion is the fact there was some members from permanent there, and they were very young.
Yes.
And they found it very boring.
Right.
And that's what I would have seen, that's one of the things that disappointed me, is the fact there wasn't enough facilities for entertainment,
right,
or, you know, off time for individuals who are there permanent.
Yeah.
And some of them, like, they would have been, so I know some of the individuals that were there in my time, they had a problem with alcohol.
Right, yeah.
You know, again, that was one of the things that disappointed me.
Yes.
Now, lucky enough again, like that, I was staying in Manor Hamilton when I was in Black Lion, and we used to go for games of handball and different things like that as well with some of the lads.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I suppose for stress, would you have considered it stressful work, Pat?
No, not particularly.
Right.
It was just part of the duties.
Right.
And we didn't worry about it.
Yeah.
The fact that we became acclimatised to it.
Right, okay.
And we got good advice at all times as well too, and we did what we were asked to do.
Right. So it seems that was very important that there were people there who could actually...
That was very important.
That kind of almost like an induction, or I suppose that's what you'd call it nowadays, I guess, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about Black Lion there, and because it's so... Obviously, would there have been army on the...
There was, just across the border, just on both sides.
Right.
And there was an Irish army were right on the border.
Okay.
And I'd say they found life boring as well.
Right, okay.
Because it's very, very boring because they were doing all their duties just in the one spot.
Right, okay. Just at the road there across the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And can you just, were there any incidents when you were there or was it?
No. Nothing to be alarmed about.
Right.
Now, the other station I went to was Monaghan.
Right.
I was there in the 1980s.
Okay.
1985, 86.
Yeah.
Monaghan was different because Monaghan was one of the, I suppose, areas where there was a lot of subversives there.
Right.
And we got to know them, and I got to know some of them as well too. Mm. And there was the incidents when I was in Monaghan.
Right.
Because there was two subversives that I can't think of their names now,
yeah.
But they were shot in the north of Ireland.
Right.
And there was funerals that we attended.
Okay.
And Scotstown was one of the areas where there was one of the those people buried.
Right.
And the build-up to the funerals was, now that was a bit scary.
Yes.
No, not for ourselves, but you could feel the tension.
Mm.
The tension that was building up because the gather force knew like that there was a big funeral coming off.
Right.
And they knew like there'd be a lot of publicity.
Yes.
And the fact there would be so many people, subversives, mm. and lots of other people supporting them.
Yes.
No, we had no worries about them deep down.
Right.
But you could, again, there was tension.
Yes.
But lucky enough, I think, on all the funerals they were at, McIlwain was one of the individuals, I can't remember now, I just thought of his name
right.
now, that was shot when I was, you know, and you could feel, again, all the pressure.
Right.
And the public themselves were waiting for things to happen.
Okay.
Now, there was... fellas in balaclavas.
Right.
They would have fired shots at the grave and things like that as well,
right.
too.
Yeah.
And then there was checkpoints going to and from the funerals you know,
yeah.
that I was at. So again, that was one of the times that you would feel the tension again,
right.
like I said. And also the fact that there was always a danger point or a possibility of a danger point.
Yeah, that something could erupt or
yes.
something.
But lucky enough it didn't.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that would have been fairly tense stuff, all right, I'm sure.
It was tense, and you could feel because every individual going out there was tense because of the possibility
yes.
of something happening.
Yeah.
It was more so the possibility.
Yes.
So people were delighted when I can tell you when those funerals were over.
Right, yeah.
We felt sorry for the people who were shot, but there was nothing we could do about it whatsoever because the fact that they were doing probably something they shouldn't have been doing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they were in places
right,
where they shouldn't have been.
Right, okay. And was that your final time, Pat, then, in the border, or were you back?
I was in Monaghan two or three different locations.
Really, yeah.
In fact, I was in two stations in Monaghan because I was in the old station and the new station.
Okay.
Because my first time up there was in the old station, and then by the time I got back again.
Okay.
So again, we met a lot of good friends there, and that's the other thing about Monaghan that I remember clearly, is the first day I arrived there, I was told if I was taking a drink, there was some of the pubs that I should avoid.
Okay.
And also the fact that the pubs were safe to go into,
right.
and that you wouldn't be taunted or asked
right.
questions, and that you would feel comfortable.
Right.
Which is very, very important,
right.
and that was great advice again.
Okay. So it was really like there was very clear sort of demarcation between what was, I suppose, not even safe, but maybe safe too, like, you know, that, you know, there were no-go zones, obviously, within the...
Oh, you could, safety.
Yeah.
Safety is very, very important
yeah.
to
yeah.
each and every one of us.
Yes, yeah.
And the fact that you're... Because people wouldn't get to know you.
Right.
Short, in a short period of time, if
yes.
you were inside in the pub, or no matter where
yes.
you were, that you were a stranger.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So, and then you went with a couple of more colleagues, and they knew, like,
that
you... To recognise. Is right, and they
okay.
could be... If you went to the wrong pub...
Okay.
You'd never know what... So we were...
Yes.
Got
yeah.
great advice.
Did you see a difference, any, you know, from the first time you went to the, was that your last
Twas, yeah.
time then? Did you see a difference, Pat, like in how, I suppose, that things got more sophisticated or?
I felt in actual fact there was more tension as well too, like Monaghan
okay.
was now the one station, like I said, in relation to all the tension when I was in Kinloch.
Right.
And Ballyconnell and Black Line, there was less tension, less tension, because I think and expect there was less fear.
Right, okay.
Even though there was, sometime afterwards there was an incident, there was a serious bomb, there was bombing in Black Line, but that wasn't in my time now.
Right, okay.
But you could feel some of the, you know, that again, the locals in Black Line were lovely.
Right.
But it was who was coming and going to Black Line was the danger.
Right, okay. And I suppose that must have been, it must have been a busy enough crossing, was it?
It was busy, yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
So there was full-time checkpoints.
Right. And then what was this, what would a search entail? Would it be at your discretion or to search the car? Was that something that you always did? Or?
It was at your discretion.
Okay.
Now again, you took, now the normally but some of the local Gardaí, they were permanently there, and you'll be supporting them,
right?
More so than anything else,
and
the same any station we're in,
they kind of took the lead, was it?
They would have taken the lead, is right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Pat. That's I don't know. Is there anything else I wanted to ask you about it?
The accommodation as well as everything.
Right,
we're lucky with accommodation. Now, each time I went to the border in Ballyconnell and Kinloch, we were lucky enough that we got very good accommodation.
Right.
Even though there was when we were in Kinloch on one occasion, one of the time we were there for a number of months, we moved into a house, four of us moved into a house on our own.
Right.
So we did our own cooking and everything else, which was a small bit cheaper than getting fed from landladies and things like that as well. And I can definitely say that the landladies looked after as well.
Right, and that was important.
It was very, very important.
Yes, being away from home and, you know, in a strange place, I suppose. And
but to get good food is very, very important.
Yeah. What about the conditions, Pat? Like you're, you know, I suppose you were out in all sorts of weathers, were you?
The weather in the north of Ireland, I found, now, not so much in Kinloch or Black Line, yes, in some ways it was a lot colder.
Mm.
Now, it was the month of January and February that I was there in 1975.
Mm.
But in 1985, I went to Monaghan.
Right.
And the weather was very, very cold there.
Mm.
In actual fact, it was so cold. The first couple, I was only there a couple of days, I went back, and I decided I'd buy a pair of Johns. Because, again, it was 5 or 6 degrees colder than here, and the checkpoints were longer than two.
Right, yeah.
Because at that time I was armed. I was armed, I was in the detective branch when I went to Monaghan.
Okay.
And the fact that you're armed, you're doing 8-hour duties.
Right.
And if you're there from 10 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning, and it was very, very cold.
Right, yeah.
And there was an occasion, actually, a number of occasions, I suppose, the weather was so cold that fellas went to light a fire nearly on the side of the... keep themselves warm.
Yeah.
That's what we found, now. Other than that, the conditions were in great accommodation, in fairness.
Yeah. That's right, because people have mentioned that, the cold, to me, all right. And also, it was just kind of, you'd have your overcoat and you know, that there was no kind of, in those days, there was no sort of technology around clothes.
We had to keep walking, in aspect, because if you stayed standing, you would get, you know, you'd be very, very cold out of you.
Right,
So what we do is we used to go in pairs and pace the road as much as we could.
Right, yeah.
And everything was stopped that particular time as well.
And when would you eat? Would you just bring sandwiches with you or something? Right, okay.
You would have going out, yeah.
Yeah. Different times. Okay, so is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to...
We also did escorts in, two from time to time, from the post office, from Sligo, when I was in Kinloch now. We did the escorts of the mails.
Yes.
And we used to go to the different, you know, we'd been in Sligo in the mornings.
Right.
Especially after any morning, they'd be carrying cash, would be the first Tuesday.
Right.
And then on the Friday mornings.
Right.
We did that fairly regularly from Kinloch. That's the only other thing I can remember now.
Right. You weren't married when you were up there at all, Pat, were you?
I was married when I was in Monaghan.
Right, yeah.
My first couple of stations, I wasn't.
And was your wife at home here, was she?
She was, yeah.
And did you have children at that stage, Pat?
We had children in two children in 1985-86. Right. But sometimes they would have stayed in Galway, because my wife's from Galway as well.
Okay.
And they might have stayed in Galway for some period.
Right.
So then there was most of the time they stayed in Clonakilty.
But I'm just thinking about communication in that time between yourself and, trying to, you know...
There was no mobile phones or whatever. You would have kept contact with the Garda station.
You
could ring the Garda station and you'd make the time that you'd be
there. Oh, yeah, and she'd be there.
Well, yeah, maybe on occasions, yes. But then we were home on our rest days.
Right.
We were home for the two or three days in, you know, every week. So
I suppose, would you come down, Pat, then, when you'd be...
Why would you?
Yeah. And that was a fair...
It was 250 miles from Clonakilty to Manhattan.
Yes, yeah.
But that time, when you're younger, you don't take as much notice as you
even
would.
The roads were bad.
Well, but lucky enough, like that, there was only one occasion that I had a slight mishap.
Right.
When I was travelling from, there was a lot of snow on the road from Kinloch to Galway.
Right.
My car skid and snow, and very, very heavy snow, and I just touched the wall. Lucky enough, I didn't do.
Right.
I just broke a headlamp, that was all.
Right, yeah, you were lucky. So
that was a mishap that I had.
Yeah. But I suppose it was it difficult being away from the family as well, Pat?
It was, but you knew, you see, you would be only away for a week.
Right.
You know, and...
You'd come back,
is right, and you didn't mind that, and you knew, like, that things were going, you know, that you'd saw them regularly.
Yes, yeah. Okay, Pat, I'd say that's fine. I'll stop it there.